7, 8. Caffeinated faith with Ray and E. Jesus talk.
Hello, everybody. So today is another episode, another day. We are doing it differently today because my sidekick that I usually have with me on here, Elissa, I guess she has to be shared with her husband, and I guess I'll be nice enough to do that. But she is on vacation this week with her husband, getting some time away, relaxing. And as she does that, I'm like, what better idea than for me to, you know, bless your ears by myself? But then I thought it would be a good idea to bring on my childhood best friend. We have history, we go way back, we have core memories together. I'm pretty sure I've mentioned her on here before. I probably like referenced her in some stories or whatever the case is, but she's my childhood best friend, and I feel like nowadays you don't really get to carry that on throughout all these years. We always make the joke that our parents have forced us to being friends back in 1999 when her mom came to visit the church, but I'm glad that they did, and now here we are together. So welcome, Jessica.
Hello.
You sound so excited to be here. OMG.
I'm a little nervous.
I am surprised that I actually got her on here because of the nerves. I thought I was shy. This chick is like, she likes to be behind scenes.
Period. That's me all the time. I'm loud in other ways.
Yeah, so when we are together, I don't know. She's definitely, I feel like growing up, I don't know what possessed our parents to put us together. I don't know if they knew what was coming up.
No.
Because when we are together, I swear it's like we're sisters in many, many ways.
It definitely felt like sisters.
Oh, yeah. So we're unhinged. We have no filter.
Nope.
If we ever did get into arguments, we would sizzle it out and we'll get over it and then come back the next day or whatever it is. Call it a day.
As friends, we learned that like super early. Like now as an adult, we learn that and have like adult friends that you're able to do that with. But we learned that like when we were like 9.
That we are able to do that with or not?
Yeah, no, that we are able to do that.
Oh.
Because some children...
I feel like we had like no choice but to deal with it with each other, at least because our parents didn't really give us a choice to hang out together. So
I just learned at an early age you can't sleep over everybody's house. So
that's actually true. I never actually slept over. Wait a minute. Now that I think of it, I literally never slept over anybody else's house but yours. And my mom would leave me out there. Like I would be like, Mom, I'm staying over. Next thing you know, I'm there for like 4 days in a row. And I cried for her at night, I think on at least the third or fourth day. And now I know why. Because now that I think of it, it's because I was out there for that many days without her. And you guys literally still make fun of me for that till this day. And you know what? I don't care. I'm not ashamed anymore. Okay? Her face.
The only house that I was sleeping over was yours.
You're welcome.
That was the only house I was going over.
I feel like up to a certain age, Jessica was able to stay up with me, but after the age of 9, I swear, Jessica never really, like, stayed up. This chick would be falling asleep at, like, 9 p.m.
Oh, you want to know why?
Why?
Because I feel like at that point in my life, I got insomnia, and I used to be up. I would. There'd be some nights I wouldn't be able to go to sleep at all. And I'd be in, that's why sometimes you would come into my room and it was completely rearranged, because that night I was not able to sleep and it would go on for a couple days. And then I'd be knocked after school. And then all of a sudden it would happen again, like every couple of weeks. So after a while, I couldn't stay up.
What in the world?
Listen, makeup tutorials, dance parties, that was all happening in my room at like 3 a.m. because I couldn't sleep.
I will leave that with you. My sister did the same thing. I would come home from school one day and all of a sudden all the room is rearranged. And I'm like, did you get bored?
Yes, because sometimes it does. When you get tired looking at it, now I have a problem. So, like, every season, I have to change around my house.
Well, then. So, both of us grew up in church, but we were raised differently. And along the path, we had our own journeys because we've had our own struggles, we've had our own challenges, whatever the case may be. And so that's what I love about this episode, because it's going to show that as we go into it and talk about the memories and just our struggles and everything. But also, I love that it ended up with us in our 30s wanting the same goal, which is that deeper relationship with God. We can all have that walk with God, but it's never going to look the same as anybody else's, and we shouldn't compare to anybody else's. So I'm excited to get into it. And so first thing we're going to talk about is memories, because I don't know if our parents knew what we got into, because I would talk to your dad and he would be like, you guys did all that?
When he wasn't watching us, it's fine.
They trusted us too much.
For real.
I think that's also why I went to Jessica's house more often, because I was like, oh, I could get away with a little bit more.
Just a switch. Like that situation that happened in the...
You know what? Listen, I could never live that story down. But my mom definitely knew about that, because I had to get new shoes, new phone, new everything.
So what had happened was, quickly going down it, let's just say I had no good listening skills when it came to Jessica and her brothers.
Absolutely not.
I thought I was smarter, and so I worked harder, apparently, because I fell into a swamp because I slid in there. Mm-hmm. I had no muscular anything at the time. Mm-mm. So therefore, here I am trying to get my way out with a tree branch. Jessica... Jessica's the only one. Her brothers left me out there for dead, because Jessica's the only one that tried to come my way and tried to help me out. We tried walking home. Somebody came that we knew and was trying to be nice, being like, oh, let me give you guys a ride home, until he saw me. And he didn't want to anymore, but he had no choice. Uh-uh. So let's just say that my shoes, my phone, my everything got ruined. But you guys enjoy this. See, I made a little memory in your heads.
That was a time. That was a core memory right there.
I think we watched Narnia and we wanted to like go past like the trees at Agawam. No, this wasn't Narnia.
This was Bridge to Terabithia, honey. if you have ever watched that movie, if you haven't, please go watch it, because it's a really cute movie, and it's very sad, actually. But pretty much the storyline is, it's about this little boy that moves next to this girl who has the wildest imagination, that she builds this huge imaginary land in the swamp that was pretty much behind their house. And I'm not going to tell you guys the whole thing, because I want you guys to go watch it. But pretty much there was something that happened very sad. And what we thought was like, oh, we can go build our own Bridge to Terabithia at our park. So that's how the whole story started. That's literally how the whole thing
I was always curious to know what was behind those trees. So we went and explored.
But listen, we're not like the kids of like today. Like, they like have a lot of TV. My mom didn't have us watching TV all the time. We didn't.
Yeah.
We was outside all the time. So we was climbing trees.
We played manhunt. We would play all sorts of things outside. Go to your neighbor's houses because you had friends. It was a great time. Oh, and we would walk to the gas station to get slushies all the time. We would also be able to like mix up the flavors and swirl it up and everything.
But they were cheap. They were like 75 cents, 85 cents for it, for like the big, big ones. And then like you get a bag of chips. You get two bags of chips, 50 cents.
And they were actually filled to the top.
No, for real. So for $3, you was getting like, you was getting a good snack. That was a good snack.
That was the good.
Right? Back in the day. Right now that $3 barely gets me a juice.
But this is disrespectful. but what's it called? So we pretty much started this force of relationship because our mothers back in 1999 got together at church. Her mom came to my church and ripped us out from behind their backs. And apparently there's a whole other thing before that I don't even remember.
Oh, because this was before I even had met you. So I didn't know that my mom was calling churches. And the conversation that she personally had with your dad is what made us go to the church.
I want to know what was said in that conversation.
I don't know.
But I want to know what was said. And my dad has, he probably doesn't even remember, because his brain lately, like, he's been saying how he keeps forgetting things now. Oh,
I'm telling you, that's what it is. She said, that's what happened. She said, I called around to a bunch of different churches and she talked to different pastors. And specifically, she spoke with your dad and was like, that's it. I'm going to go over there. I'm going to look at it. Then we came up over there and we never left.
Yeah. Hello. Now here we are. 26 years later. If I could do the math. That's right. And so we became good friends, and then we were inseparable. We were always together. That our moms would get annoyed when every Sunday we would come up to our house, come up to her church, being like, "So Rachel can come over today? Did you ask her mother?" No.
First of all, I didn't even know why he was getting upset. You knew the same routine was happening every Sunday. So y'all just had this, you had to keep track on whose house it was supposed to. Because we knew, we was going back and forth. So if your house was last week, then I knew my house was this week. So you, they should have just kept on track. They should have been keeping a schedule at this point.
We should have made one.
Did you ask?
No. You know we didn't. When the pastor would be preaching anyway, we'd be writing in our Bibles like and notes to each other. We should have made the whole schedule for them right then and there.
For real. I still have mine. With all the notes.
Bible?
Yeah.
Dear Lord. I could only imagine what's in there.
First of all, he's real crusty.
crusty as our answers in those little quizzes, too.
The outside of it was, not velvet, but it was, I don't know how to describe it. It was, fluffy, kind of. Well, anyway, it's, it's kind of, wearing off. So it's just, the pages are fine. But the outside of him... if I ever want to get that recovered, I'm going to have to. Because he is just crusty on the outside.
That poor thing. He's been through life.
He has.
Also in church, too, we had some memories together where it came to children's church. Where it came to dance. My favorite part is Shackles. Okay?
Oh, here she go.
The plays, the choirs. Remember when we were in the choir? We had those, we had those colorful vests. I felt like I was a Skittle or something.
Oh, and they were shiny. They was like...
Yes!
They were... Oh, what's that word? Not velour. They were...
My mom wanted to make sure that it was caught in the camera.
It was shimmery.
Glossy. I know what you mean. Yes. I can't think of the word.
Like a choir gown. But in vest mode. She was like, let's put it on. Oh.
And then we were able to get to youth class. We had to wash each other's feet. That was a great one.
The oblek. I like the oblek.
The what now?
The one where it was Jesus walked on water, so you had to jump inside of it and literally run super fast, or your feet were gonna sneak in.
I don't know if I was there for that one.
You weren't there for that one? That was a very interesting one. I would have to say the youth group was huge. It was at least...
I miss the outings we used to do with youth.
Yes, the bowling, the laser tag.
Bowling, laser tag, the camp. Especially in the summertime with the blob and everything.
Oh.
I was so bad. Well, one, I suck at swimming. So at that time, I never really tried the blob. But
I did not.
Mm-hmm. One time when I wanted to, I actually ended up tripping on my towel going up the hill and I hurt my wrist. So I couldn't even do anything.
That was enough.
That was it for me. That was my blob.
That was it. That was enough.
But what's it called? So I know this sounds all cute and dandy, that we did stuff in church. But don't forget, we had... outside church too, aside from the swamp and all the fun stuff.
Because we live pretty close to each other. I want to say maybe 5 minutes apart from each other.
We kind of, now everybody's a sinner, right? We were also not good influences either. So my one and only thing that I could only remember that I did was that, remember in Claire's we would steal?
Oh, that was a... First of all, they shouldn't have made it so easy.
Okay. No, that just makes me question how often you did it, because I was a goody two-shoe just because, Rachel's bad easy, just do this. I'm like, all right.
Listen, it was a quick in and out. This is before, this is before
sensors. Look at her justifying it.
This is before sensors, and, if you go to, jewelry places now, a Claire's or... an icing or that love place that's in the mall, it's literally that little sensor thing that's on the back that they literally rub on that piece of plastic before you leave. That's the sensor.
Which, by the way, now if you do try to steal, I'm not saying to steal because stealing is bad. It's not part of the commandments. Okay, do not steal. But what I'm saying is, if you accidentally walk out the store with something, when I bought a dress one time from Kohl's, they forgot to take it off. So when I got home, I was like, what the heck? You know, all you got to do is grab the elastic band that you have at home, from the office, and just keep wrapping it around and around and around until you can't no more. It'll pop right off.
Oh, I did not know that. That's some new information. That's new, because I just bring it back to the store with the receipt and I bought this.
Who has time for that?
I'd be like, I bought this. I should take the tag off. Somebody should have taken the tag off before I left.
Well, then. Anyway, so, growing up, I would say was fun and all that, but we also did have really good memories of things that we went through together in church, which was, we got baptized together. I was probably around 11. We were able to start dance when I was 13. We had never done it before. We're actually still in it, and it feels like it's been 50 years, but, praise on. And... we also went to cosmetology school together. We graduated together. We literally went through life together. But even though we had similar beginnings, both of our lives took different paths.
Yes.
So, question. What did faith look like for you as a kid? Was it strong? Was it a routine? Or was it something you didn't fully understand?
I will have to say I didn't fully understand it on the magnitude that I have now. As a kid, you're like, okay, I go to church, I sing, I stand up for respect. It was more of out of like, a respect thing.
Like, what, to go to church?
Yeah, because like, first of all, you didn't disrespect your parents. We don't do that.
That's because we would have got whoopings.
For real. At all. And also, like, even at church, there was, like, a level of respect that you had for service and stuff that was going on. Like, we always stood up, like, standing for praise and worship. There was no sitting. If you sat, you was getting looked at from your parents at the pews. Like,
even respect in the sense, too, of, like, Sundays, I feel like I always called it my date with Jesus because of what we would have to wear on Sundays. It's, like, different than your midweek service. I feel like it's definitely gotten more relaxed now. Yeah. But growing up, like, we always... You put
on the night, yeah. You put the nines on. Your heels was on. Your little shoes with the little frillies.
My mom put a hat on me sometimes. I was like, Mom, I don't do hats no more. I think she scarred me, but now I love hats.
My mom didn't wear hats until when I was little. She had me put on hats, but then after that, I was like, that's enough.
So
but
that was also kind of easy. So it was more of like a routine for you.
I feel like it was more of a routine, and then like a respect thing, like to respect the. My mother's words or my family's words.
I would say mine was obviously strong as well, but in a routine, because my parents made sure that, like, we saw them pray for us. They made sure that we prayed before food. We went to church, and they didn't hide, although we're a ministry family, they never hid anything from us because they wanted to be raw and like us to see how that life is. Because why sugarcoat it? Because obviously, like, as we get older, we're gonna have to live through it. But it also showed us balance, because like, especially church days, so like Sundays and whatever midweek service it was at the time, we would go to church, have a good time, come home, and we just wanted to keep it in the light spirit. So like, my dad was good at not bringing church stuff home and like letting us have a regular day.
We were just kind of like, right, we were, you being a ministry kid and like part of like that, and then having like myself as a, like, my mom was a part of the church, like different ministries that she did, like she sang and she did the treasury at one point in time, but like to me, I saw my mom pray, like she always like had like music playing. I just, for me, it just sounded like I didn't even want to use the word routine, because it was like we knew what was going to happen. Like, so if a friend was like, oh, like I want you to come go to the USA Skates on a Friday night, I'd be like, I got youth.
You can't just skip it one time. No. I think it's like the discipline that my family had set for us as kids, so that when we did grow up, we knew to always go to God. When we did grow up, like, we would have that and just have the knowledge, I guess, of what to do in certain situations. But like, even as I laugh at this now, but I don't know how many times you've ever heard me swear in the last 26 years. If anything, it would be like a slip. But my mom always told me, until the age of 19, I never swore, because my mom would always be like, Jesus doesn't like it when you swear. Or I'm like, I didn't want to hurt Jesus's feelings. So I was like, okay. My mom told me that the tooth fairy was Jesus because he blesses us. My mom never let us do Santa Claus because she said Jesus is the one that gave us the money to bless you with. So like, we just never... I don't know.
We still had Santa at my house.
See, my mom was just lucky enough that I was a shy kid that I didn't spoil it for other kids.
Then we had Santa in our house.
Santa!
It wasn't... Elf. It wasn't... I don't know how to describe it. We had Santa's gifts and then mom's gifts. And then all of a sudden, Santa's gifts kind of just like withered away one day. Like, it was one Christmas that Santa didn't have. Santa had like one gift under the tree. Because it said from Santa to... like Jessica to like Sydney. Tooth fairy. We kind of learned like ourselves that the tooth fairy was like our parents. Like, no, I don't remember anybody really telling us. And because I had younger brothers, I had to keep the secret so that they wouldn't get like destroyed about it. But eventually it kind of just withered away in the house.
Only Jesus provides. This is the mentality I grew up with. Only Jesus provides for us. No character can give us the thing. I know it's the fun of it.
I found that out later in life, you know, when I was like a teenager.
What, that Santa wasn't real?
No.
Oh, I would say.
Jesus was the provider, but we still had the lovey dovey. I will have to say, we did not have the Easter bunny. The Easter bunny never came to our house. My mom said, Easter ain't about no bunny. It's about Jesus. I said, oh, okay.
At least she got that. She had it balanced.
I will have to say, I think I only got 2 Easter baskets in my life. Ever. And it was when I was young. I had to be like probably like 3 or 4 years old when I had one.
I don't think I ever got Easter baskets. My mom would get us like the chocolate crosses, but my dad's side of the family, my aunt would always put together an Easter egg hunt in her yard because we would always go to her house for Easter when my grandma was alive. So the egg hunt was mad fun, and that's all I got because she had a big yard, so it was great. And there was some money in some of them too. At the time, $5, you could do a whole lot with it.
You can do a whole lot with the $5.
I could go to Walmart and get myself a whole toy.
Whole lot with a $5. I will have to say those chocolate crosses, once I started getting inducted into the family, I got one too. She'd be like, I got one for you too. And I'd be like, ooh. Oh.
Let's take it to teenage years and like early adulthood. So like starting college or like, where did your life path start changing and why?
Oh, it was in college. And it was because I was around people. Like, when you go to college, especially coming from Rhode Island, like, Rhode Island is a tiny state. We were in a very tiny area that we grew up in. So everybody knew each other, like, all that. To go to college, and I didn't even leave the state for college. I was literally still in the state. But to go to college that was a private college, which means that there were people all over the world that were coming to this college and meeting all of these new people, you get sucked into a lot of the stuff that was going on. And did my faith fall off at that time? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You and me both.
Those was some rough years, honey.
College?
Rough. All around. Did I still go to church a lot of the times? Oh, yeah. Did I have the same zeal I had when I was a kid? Absolutely not. It was just, at that point, it was just, what's the word I want to use? Like, I can't even say routine.
It was just a habit?
Yeah. It was like, okay, we got to get up, I got to get dressed, I got to go to church. I come back, my mom drops me off, back at school, and the whole week starts over again.
I remember, I think when you were in college, we kind of separated a little bit. Like, I mean at least I blacked it out of my life, but like I feel like around that time, I think that was also a time when we had like our distance apart, because this was where our like career, not career path, but like our life paths were going different.
Because we were always, on a different wavelength.
Because you went to college. I semi went to college, but I didn't live on campus. Like, I didn't have that luxury. So I feel like we weren't at the same spot anymore.
Huh? That's not a luxury.
Well, nobody knows that until you're actually in it and go through stuff.
I'm gonna tell you right now, if there are any people that are listening to this and are not in college that are like trying to move away, you can literally do the same bad boy at your home community college. Like, you're paying extra dollar bills just to be somewhere where they don't feed you good. You're on an awful bed, and then you have to live with people that you've never been before. That's like a lot of colleges have like at least 4 roommates in a room, so there's 3 other people in there. You don't know their habits, you don't know how they
you
clean.
Gotta share a bathroom.
You have to share a bathroom.
The shower thing is what got me when I saw my brother and sister go through it, like, oh,
and they had
sandals.
they had community ones. I had one where we had a private bathroom in our thing, and it still got disgusting with like 4 women living in there.
That's
gross. It was gross. So if you ever are thinking of that, honey, go to community college. I'm gonna tell you right now, you would save yourself so much more money. And those first 2 years, which I didn't do this, but like your first 2 years of like college are, you're branching out. Like, you have this amazing picture in your mind of like what exactly you wanted to do in college. And then you get there, you start taking the class, and you're like, this is horrendous. Next thing you know, you didn't change your major like 8 times in the 2 years you've been there. Just go to community college. That way you can switch up as much as you like.
For real.
You ain't gotta pay as much money. And you'll be Gucci. You'll be perfectly fine.
I thought. I went to community college. I didn't know what I wanted to do. So I jumped around from like 2 different things. But then I was like, let me just go for my general studies. At least I'll have something. That didn't even work out. Because then I purposely flunked my way out because of this girl right here. Here's the influence once again. She was in hair school at the time.
Back it up. I flunked out of my original school. I flunked out.
So she was in hair school.
Yeah, and I was in hair school.
And what did Ray do?
Came to hair school.
Because why? Because
I said, come on over here.
And why? Because of the influence. Because yes. You were like, oh, Rachel, reel me in. Rachel, come to this event at school. Listen. Come see. And you know, I'm like, do, 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 do. So I'm just like, oh, you get to play with hair all day. This is mad easy.
Hair all day. Like, it was easy. Because guess what? Who is on the dean's list every time?
Me. Us.
Back to back. Also, just to give you guys some context, our maiden names began with a P. So we were right up underneath each other all the time.
And you didn't even go by Jessica in school.
Nope.
You went by Rochelle.
Yup.
So therefore, it was RRPP.
Yup. Yup. Yes, it was. Yes,
yo,
it
was. I was flabbergasted when I started school with Jessica and everybody was calling her Rochelle. I was like, Rochelle who? I said, Jessica. They're like, who's Jessica? I said, the chick right there that you're looking at. Right there. And she was like, oh, I don't go by Jessica. I go by Rochelle. Besides, I go by Jesse, if anything. I said, what are you going over here? Change your identity?
No. It was because the job that I worked at before, I worked with 8 other Jessicas. And we would always get confused. So I was like, forget it. Don't call me that. Call me Rochelle. I'd be perfectly fine. And then after a while, I just kept it. I held on to it for a while.
Also, because Jessica said that Jessica is a white chick name. And, she's not like that. So therefore, she's just like...
I need a little sprinkle of something. I need some sessons.
Some razzle dazzle.
Some razzle dazzle.
I feel like as for me with my path, I think because since my dad is a pastor and we lived the church life, because church was obviously like my second home, I wanted to feel normal in front of my friends. So aside from Jessica, when other friends came about, first of all, they always say like how bad company corrupts good character. So aside from my sidekick right here, getting me into influences a little bit, first of all, the secular music. Mm. We were definitely into boys at the time.
Period.
The stealing, etc. Okay.
Yeah.
But my other friends, like if they swore in front of me, they would They would try to hide it just because I'm me. But I'm like, no. This is what I regret that I always said to people. I regret it till this day, and I apologize to Jesus.
Apologize to Jesus every day.
Because when they would swear in front of me, I would be like, no, my dad's a pastor, not me. Like, you could swear in front of me just because I wanted to be normal, because I thought that I wasn't normal.
Mm.
But here I am. This is my new, my new normal.
This is my new normal.
Right. I regret it till this day because I feel like my dad's, like, reputation that he's created for himself, he's created for the family, like, I kind of, like, crapped all over it, but just by saying that, because I should actually be honored that I have a family that raised me up in that way. Mm. They're not, because if he wasn't in that light, I don't know where I'd be. I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing today.
You know what I had a conversation with, You know what I had a conversation with someone about? I was like, when somebody doesn't have the Lord, who do you turn to?
Other people, their own flesh.
That sounds awful.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm just letting it out right now. I had a whole conversation with my friend about it because we were talking. She's not a Christian, but she's been open to having more conversations with me about it, probably because of the theatrics that I have of reading the Bible to her. Anywho, she was like, we were having the conversation. I was like, she was telling me that she had started praying and that she had called on him for something that was going on in her life. And I was like, well, that's good that you were able to, like, sit down and have that, like, prayer time with him. Like, how did you feel? And she was like, oh, I felt great. And then I was like, think about it. Who were you calling on before this time? And she was like, not a soul. I was like, she was just out here, free ball of life, living on vibes every day. I was like, I can't be doing all that. I need Jesus. I need Jesus.
Well, I'm glad that I am where I am and the family that I come from, because honestly, like, not a lot of families out there are as strong as, like, my family bond. Mm-hmm. And so, just being able to, like, be together each week,
I find that so
just,
cute.
Like, worship. Everybody does.
I find that so cute.
Like, it's just something special that my family has. Like, we could worship together each week. I actually love watching my dad preach because I long for that. And it's kind of funny because Elissa one time said that sometimes she'll look at me when my dad's preaching. And she's like, just the way that you're looking up at him, it's like you're in awe. I said, well, I hope to be that one day, because I don't know, I find it like interesting.
It's a generational thing. You want to look up to your parents and be the person that they would like for you, but also watching you grow into the person that you have created, like, for yourself. Mm-hmm. And for you to have a zeal for something that they have a zeal for, it's like, oh, now I can talk about it. Now we can get into it. The bread and butter.
You're making me hungry. But it's funny because I kind of chuckled to myself because now, like, I know before I said about the whole swearing aspect of it, but now it's crazy how, like, your mindset changes when you get, as you get older and deeper with God and stuff, because now, like, I feel honored when people, like, I have a couple people that I know, but they don't know me, they just know of me, and they'll try not to swear in front of me, they'll be like, oh, I'm sorry, and, like, they're like, oh, I don't know what it is, but there's just something different about you, I don't feel comfortable swearing, I'm just like...
I should feel that every day.
Huh? I know what it is.
I know what it is.
It's Jesus.
I will say my swear journey. I had a
has been on a long road.
I have a foul mouth, and it took forever. Even like within this last, like I want to say it's been a year and a half since I switched from secular music over to Christian music, which that's gonna be for a different podcast. Because hello. The music industry is just wild. Anywho, just switching over, and I still had like a real bad like potty mouth. And recently, within the last like, I want to say the last like 6 months, I've gotten a little bit better with it. There's certain words I don't say, and you know what's weird? If somebody says it, it literally sounds like a board is like somebody's taking their nails to a chalkboard.
Oh,
I don't know.
Played it in my head.
Oh, I don't know what it is. Or I feel like super awkward. Like I'll be like, oh, and like go and hide somewhere. It's very strange.
No, I get annoyed after like the third time I hear them swearing like two sentences. I'm just like, can you use other filler words than like the swearing? I don't understand.
If you have a problem with that, really go in there and get the dictionary. It sounds boring, but I'm telling you right now, there are words that you can pull out that you'd be like, Like, my new word right now is astronomical. Like,
oh, I got flabbergasted. I got, diabolical.
Right.
I got another word, too, but I can't remember it, but those are my words lately.
Yeah, because I was like, oh, I can't. And I was talking with my coworker. She's a Christian. She's been in the faith for, she's a new Christian, but she's been a part of the faith for about 4 or 5 years now. And I was having a conversation with her, and she was like, yo, that's your conviction. And I was like, I heard of conviction. And yeah, you get convicted about certain things, like the stealing thing. You get convicted about that. Like, you feel like all gross inside and whatnot. But like, I never felt the way I feel when somebody swears. It is like, like my ears itch, my body
now
falls.
You understand what...
It feels so
now you understand what I had gone through.
I don't like it. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm like, what is that? I'm like, my ears hurt. Like if I hear my husband doing it, I'm like, stop that. Like I hear my ears hurt. Listen, the Lord said, since you don't want to listen to me, he's been, you know, smacking me around a little bit. Like even the girls at my job, if they say it, like I walk in a different direction, I'd be like, oh God, Lordy. I'd be like, do we have to swear like every 5 seconds? I know we work with kids, but like
That's why they say who you spend your time with is important, because for me, with friends, quality is over quantity. Mm-hmm. I don't care if I'm left over here in the corner with one friend, as long as they're like good influence on you, like in that sense. Like if I have a friend who swears, I would hope that them seeing me and being around me so often that they would want the same as me, which is not swearing. So maybe I could like hinder them from doing so, and maybe as time goes on that will stop them from doing it. So what key experiences shaped you?
What do you mean by like key experiences?
Like what are top experiences that shaped you into who you are today? Like for example, like mine, I have a few different ones. Like, first and foremost, my family and my upbringing, which is a given. Because if my mom didn't plant that seed in my dad and him running with it and being who he is today, where would I be? Like how I said before.
So I can definitely say my family.
Yeah. Your like, mom was very vigilant.
That woman was vigilant. Okay. I would have to say, like, even though I had walked away, like, I always knew I could come back.
And then my mother is a prayer warrior.
Oh, she prays people away too. She's like, if it is not meant to be. Listen,
that's not what she says. What she says is that if it's not in your will, then please move it out of the way
and let your will be done.
And let your will be done. That is what she says, okay? So in our eyes as teenagers, we was like, oh, so you're just praying people up out of here.
Like she has some type of superpower.
Right, that's what she was doing. But I love to say, like, I always knew, like, I could go back to, like, going to church and having that zeal and having that presence. Recently, within the last, like, year and a half, I will have to say it was the secular music and, like, going out. And I can't even say that I was going out too often because I had a child in 2023, but and I got pregnant in 2022, so, like, I didn't really go outside very often.
I mean, it was COVID pretty much anyway.
Right, and then the rest was, like, COVID, and then, like, you didn't really go out because it's not the same as it was back then. But, like, once I changed, like, my music, my ears don't even like hearing, like, secular music at all.
I don't even listen to secular music, unless, obviously, like, you walk into a store, you go to a gym, whatever. Right. But I don't know how long it's been now. Years ago, I did this, the Caleb challenge.
Yep.
I did that for 30 days, and that definitely helped. And then I started, like, weaning off of the secular music. And music nowadays kind of suck, I'm not gonna lie.
It's awful.
There is no message to it whatsoever. No. And nothing for about nonsense. Nothing for the imagination, like how it was before. No! Okay.
There was nothing for the imagination. Y'all just blurting it up out there. Like.
But I feel like for me, aside from my family, I feel like my job actually is what helped me get out there. One, I have to talk to people regardless. Mm. But it gave me the opportunity each day to talk to people about God, because either my music will be on and they'll ask about it, or somehow, some way, God would always come up and it would give me a chance to talk to them about it. Or they'll ask me, what are you doing this weekend? I bring up church and we talk about it that way. There's like multiple ways that he's put it in my path to talk to people about God. For example, I have a client who, like, she doesn't listen to Christian music whatsoever in her day-to-day. But when she comes in, she expects the Christian music. And she's like, it makes me feel at peace when I'm here. Where's the Christian music at? And I'm like, give me a chance to put it on for a second. Like, you just came in.
Man, we can't have peace on our regular day life. Let me put it in your car for you.
I was like, let me tell you what station. Even, like, I had another client a couple years ago where she, I could tell she was going through something. I don't know exactly what, because I don't have that superpower like God does. But, she was going through something, and I just, like, talked to her about it, and then we got to talking about God for the whole hour of her Lashville, and then next thing you know, she's messaging me, being like, I needed that, and, like, just different ways, and it baffles me, because sometimes I black out and don't know what the heck I say, or I realize that I know more than I thought I knew.
About the Lord.
That's what I'm saying, and it just would, like, roll off my tongue. I'm just like, oh! Yeah. And I would call up my dad, like, this was accurate, right? And he goes, yeah. I was like, okay, so I know more than I thought I knew.
Yeah.
And it just feels great. But, so did, okay, so you were saying you were going back and forth. Do you feel like you, do you ever feel like you weren't doing faith right compared to others?
Yeah.
Same.
Like, but then I realized, like, as going to, like, different, I can't even say different churches, but like, when you know, when you go to like different conferences and stuff like that. And my mom used to tell me this all the time, and it just didn't resonate until I got to the point where I was able to make sense. But everybody's walk is different. Like, nobody's walk is the same. Everybody's is going to be different. You could have one that's similar, but you're not going to have one that's exactly the same. You're not going to feel the exact same. And it took me a little while to realize, like, that is something that is, like, true. Nobody has the same. You could literally, your life could go, you could be a whole Christian kid, the whole nine, and your life could literally go left and stay left because you never went back right.
Facts.
Or you could go straight right and be on a completely different wavelength than everybody is. But it's all, like, and it goes back to, like, even, like, in a, I don't want to use, like, secular mindset, but, like, even in a, like, a regular mindset, that, like, everybody's life is different. Like, everybody's different ways in life. Like, we nowadays, we have like back in the day, a lot of women were getting, for example, starting families and getting pregnant and doing all this stuff, like, in their 20s, where it's like, now it's like, if you're in your 30s doing it, girl, you fine.
Hey,
you're doing great. Okay, even in your 40s, we have women that are getting pregnant in their 40s.
Janet Jackson got pregnant in her 60s,
for real.
I mean, I don't, like, want to be 60 and being a new mom.
No, absolutely not. But like, I got a cutoff point, but like,
when you hear that, even on a, like a regular standpoint, like, okay, everybody's life is different. Everybody's walk with the Lord is different. It's not going to be the same. We all have different gifts. And, like, hearing that and, like, actually physically seeing it now, it's like, oh, I was just, so you just wasn't listening. That's in my brain. Was like, so there was, like, a meme of this guy. It was like, we didn't learn. So you didn't learn. And then you're like, comprehension. That's me. Like, oh, so you just didn't learn. Now it's starting to, like, comprehend in your mind. I'm like, oh, yeah. It took me a little bit to get there, but you know what? Thank you.
And it's weird because, like, as a kid, too, like, always hearing the older people pray, I always thought that's how you were supposed to pray.
Yes.
Or because I realized, too, as I get older, it doesn't have to be elaborate. It doesn't have to be eloquent, okay?
Like, listen, that's why I tell people, I'm like, listen, they'd be like, oh, can you just pray for me? And one of the girls at my job said, like, I just need you to pray for me. I said, girl, I need you to be on your knees praying. I was like, I can't keep praying for you. I said, I can keep praying for you, yes. But you have to be doing some of the work too. But she was like, oh, like, you know, but how do I do that? I was like, just think we have a prayer law book out there?
There's no script.
There's it. Right, for real. There's no script. Honey, I'd be talking to the Lord just like this. I'd be like, oh, I know you hear me today. Or if it's having a good day, or if I'm in a time where I'm like literally crying, because that's been my new one. Because for some reason, I'm just emotional now in my 30s. I'd just be bursting out in tears. For real. I'd just be bursting out into tears, like... Random moments too. We could be singing a song, next thing you know, it's nothing. One of our friends that like kind of sits like in our area, like I started crying and then she started crying.
Contact cry.
She was like, oh, and she was telling me why she was crying. She was like, why are you crying? I don't know.
Oh my goodness. Too much hormones in one area.
I don't know. Or if one particular lady, when she starts going, she starts praising and she just puts a hand on my shoulder, I'm done. I'm tearing up. I'm
like, how did you know?
Right? Yeah. Like, there's nothing going on. And it always, and oh, this is the part that really upsets me because the Lord just, you just like to play games with me. He always does it on a day that my makeup is bomb. Like, I done beat my face. It looks so nice. And it's always that time, my eyelashes. By the time worship is over, my eyelashes
fall off. He's like, oh, you want to take that extra time on makeup? You don't want to take the extra time on me? Get to church earlier. Just kidding.
I'm over here.
Just kidding.
Eyelash falling off. I was like, no, there was no point in me.
Listen, at least the lights are off when worship is going on.
For real.
Just be glad.
And then I got to go in the bathroom, go reassess to figure out what happened. I was like, let me see what my face looks like.
But as you said, though, it is true that like everybody has like their different rate, like their different walk with God at different timing and everything. And like when the seed gets planted, we did our job. And sometimes people think that they have to do like the extra mile. But like once you like plant that seed inside of somebody, God does the rest. And I feel like he will put like situations in your way to wake you up.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. But see, I'm hard-headed, so you know how like they'd be like, oh, the Lord can come in a soft whisper or a loud roar.
You need
I am not the dull
whisper.
You need
a smack in the face.
I'm the throw a rock at me. I know you heard me.
Like you can't sugarcoat things, Jessica. You just gotta just tell her how it is.
Because I'm gonna sit around and I'm gonna sugarcoat, and the sugarcoat's gonna go around in a circle for me, and then I'm gonna be like, I don't understand. I don't understand what happened.
I think the me realizing about like the different paths that God has for everybody is so with my family. You have my dad who's a pastor. You have my brother who started a lead role at like 18 that progressed into like youth pastor to a pastor. You got my sister who started singing when she was younger. You got my mom who's always been leading. So like I feel like then there's Rachel.
There's Rachel.
And it's like, where's she been all this time? And I feel like sometimes I would be like compared to them in a sense. And then it makes me think like, am I supposed to be where they're at right now? And I'm not. And it comes to find out, I take after my dad. So, cause my dad doesn't
find out.
My dad was slow with everything. I guess my dad's actually shy. And that's where I always got it from, like being in front of people. He says even now to this day, he gets shy in front of people, but he knows that that's the Lord's strength that goes through him to get up there and speak, not his own. Okay. But yeah, just being in the family that I am, I feel like I had more pressure. And then as time went rolling, Jesus was like, okay, this is your turn, this is your time. I start singing specials, and then now new thing in my mind is like, am I going to be compared to my mom? Am I going to be compared to my sister? Like, are they going to compare my voice to them? Are they going to, I don't know, just all those nonsense things that maybe it's the enemy that throws it in my mind to sway me off, you know?
I say that because my mom is a huge prayer warrior, and I feel like a lot of people are like, oh, Jessica, why don't you get up and pray? Oh, why don't you go to pray? Facts. Excuse me? Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, just because my mother is on her knees fervently and is a prayer warrior doesn't mean that I am not also a prayer warrior in the quiet. Okay?
Oh.
In the closet.
In the quiet, yeah. I could go for a while, and I have like these like great prayers with Jesus. Not prayers, I would say conversations.
Yeah,
I have great conversations with Jesus. But when I, all of a sudden, if I get called on or if you give me a certain topic to pray about and it's not like what I want to pray, I'm just like, I get stupid. I'm like Patrick from SpongeBob. I'm like, duh.
Go for real.
Like, what do I say again?
Real.
It's like I never prayed a day in my life.
Literally, last Sunday.
Here you go.
Last Sunday. Listen, first of all, I would just like to be
honest. All right, first of all. Before she goes into her little thing,
yeah.
On the second Sunday of every month is Amp Sunday, so that's like for our age group and this and that.
Yes.
And I was dying laughing when I got the email when I saw that you were going to pray for one of the things, right?
First of all, I was in my car minding my business. I didn't even get, I just saw that the email had popped up, and I was like, oh, okay, maybe it must be my time to do projection, which is a behind the scenes ministry, okay? So I was like, oh, okay, whatever. I get to work. I even was at work. I was leaving work. One of the two. I was on lunch. No, I think I was on lunch. I think it was midday. I was on lunch and I went and looked at my phone. I said, excuse me. And what is going on here?
And then I get a phone call from Jessica. I already knew what she was going to say.
I didn't even text.
I saw it in the morning. And so I pick up the phone and I just started dying laughing because I know what she's going to say.
Who chose me for this walk right now?
And my response to that is, I'm sorry. I'm the one who has to transition. I'm the one who has to stand up there from 5 to 8 minutes and speak. I said, do you want to do that part? You're like, no.
Absolutely not. That is not the gift. Listen, I say this all the time. That is not the gift God gave to me.
Well, apparently it's in the cards for me because according to Marley, she always says it's in my blood. So I guess it was a long time coming.
Well, bless her heart. That is not the gift God gave to me. But I digress. So I'm sitting there, right? I'm in service. It's getting close to that time. Why am I on Google trying to figure out how do you pray about
Jessica
a message?
Rochelle Pierce.
And then I'm like
McCoy.
What
the heck is your last name? Moore.
Tell me about reading them. And I'm like, this sounds absolutely horrendous. Like, I can't get up there and say none of that. And then I'm like, now I'm in my brain going, like, trying to figure out, like,
Jessica,
what am I going to say? What am I going to say? What am I going
to
say?
I told you what to say on the phone. I said, all you got to do is say X, Y, and Z. And you're like, okay.
I'm going to tell you right now, that did not resonate. That did not resonate. It went into one ear and went out the other because I don't even remember. Because I was like, oh, what did she tell me to say? I don't even remember what I was supposed to say. Then I'm looking it up. I'm like, all these sound awful. I'm not saying that. Then I'm like, how am I going to memorize that in 3 minutes? Because I got 3 minutes to figure it out. Then I was like, oh, no, we're just going to have to get up there on a wing and a prayer. We was up there on a wing and a prayer. That was the fastest prayer of my life. That was the fastest 3 seconds.
They weren't expecting you to pray like 2 minutes.
Bless the Lord, because I was getting up there for 3 seconds.
And guess what? I'm sure he'll popcorn you again.
He better not. But leave me alone.
So, were there anything, like any specific events or like hardships or revelations that led you back to seeking God now that we're older? Like, what made you want to now deepen your walk with God?
My son.
I had a feeling that was the answer.
It was my son. Because I was like, oh, like, don't get me wrong. If you had asked me how my life was as a child, I'd be like, oh my God, it's awful. Like
yeah.
An emo kid.
Well,
like
first of all, she was dramatic as
I was. I'm still dramatic. I would have been like, oh, it's awful. Oh my God, it's emo baby. Nah, it was perfectly fine. My life was fine.
Yeah, that's because I was in it. What
do
you mean?
No child trauma. Like, there were things that went on that we would like, that we talk about now that we were like, oh, like we'd rather it be a little bit better. But that's like literally it. But when I had my son, was like, wow, like I really need to like, I'm gonna just need to pull it together because one of us has to. So just a little context. My husband is not a Christian. Like he hasn't given his life over. He comes with me to church and he's present. But we're still working on things. And with myself and coming into like the marriage like that, and then knowing that I could be like a whole different, like a completely different person. And then once I had my son, I was like, well, one of us is gonna have to pull it together. And that's pretty much what happened. Like, I was like, I'm gonna have to literally pull it together. Like, and that's pretty much happened. And it started with the Christian music, like on a regular basis. And I literally just cut cold turkey one day. It was like a Tuesday. I was like, yep, that's enough. Cut it out.
we're gonna have to listen to worship music. Then I got tired of worship music, and I was like, there's gotta be something else for me to be listening to.
Oh, I can never get tired of worship music.
I can be in the mood. I have to be in the mood for it. Like, if I'm like really, because there's some songs that be really setting it off for me. I'd be in the car, and next thing you know, she'd be glad I got my eyes open, because I could be in there closing my eyes the whole time.
Let's not.
But right for real, while I'm driving. But there, I got into a whole new genre of Christian music that I never knew like existed. Like, yeah, when you're a kid, you're like, oh, Christian rap, haha. You like listen to it, and it was, I would have to say, our generation Christian rap was actually not the greatest, but it also might have been the artist that I might have been trying to listen to.
Honestly, Lecrae kind of did it for me.
That was about it. That's all we had. Okay, that was about it. But like after I found like Christian R&B, Christian rock, Christian, because that's kind of like what I listened to, and to find something that was for me. And then after that, my whole like mood kind of changed. And like recently, everybody has a year resolution. I'm gonna read more. I'm gonna do whatever. I was like, I want to get deeper into my Bible. Yeah, do I know the Bible stories? Of course I do. But there are some Bible stories I did not even know of. And to just get into them, like, I just finished reading Genesis, and I was like, that was a mess. And right now I'm in Job and in Matthew at the moment. So like just being able to read that, like I didn't also like me speaking more about God, like, and about like the things that go on. I didn't, like, the Lord will just tell you like, and he used to always say this, like, it doesn't matter how I portray it to you. Like, I just needed to portray it. So now at my job, it's hysterical. At my job, every Wednesday morning, I have to go into like the baby room and give what I read that day, because I was doing that all last month. Every Wednesday I was going in there and I was like, let me tell you about Genesis 23. That was wild. Let me tell you what happened in it. And I'd be telling them the whole thing, and they're like, you gotta come back every Wednesday and do this, because this is hysterical every Wednesday. And they're, whether they're getting the Bible and they're reading it themselves, no, they're getting it through me. At least you are getting it.
So I would say for me, what made me want to get more serious with him is that I have two scenarios. The first one of what planted the seed inside me is when I was 18, I forgot what I done did to my dad. I got him mad. I think it was because he found out I dropped out of college for hair school. And yeah, that was the whole scenario. But I did something to get him so mad that he pretty much told me and got this stuck in my mind. He was like, just because you're in our house and you're our daughter doesn't mean that you have the same walk with God that we do. You have your own walk with him. So that kind of stuck with me, and that's when I thought about it, and I was like, you know, he is right. So I started like implementing more things, I guess, and like getting away from more of the worldly stuff that I was doing. But then COVID, because when COVID hit, that was when I started hearing more about Jesus is coming back and this and that. And I was like, I was like, no more playing around. Like, this is it. Like, I have to get myself together. I have to get myself to just be right with God. And so that's when I started taking it more seriously. I started the 3 months that I was home from work, forced once again. The 3 months that I was home from work, I decided to listen to more Christian music. I tried to start reading the Bible more because I get lazy, and that's just one thing that I never got myself fully into. And so I was like, all right, bet. Because when I was younger, I always heard them say Jesus has come back. So I was like, oh, maybe that's just like a saying that Christians be saying, because I mean, it's been since I was a kid.
Yeah, all so, the time they're saying this man's
coming. So now during COVID, this whole life thing is happening, and it's like all these different changes. I'm like, crap, maybe it is serious. And like that's when I got more in tuned with it. So that's just kind of what woke me up. I got woke. Jesus had to slap me in the face with COVID.
Not COVID. Not COVID. No, mine was after COVID. A little bit after.
Your child.
Yeah. My Pookie I found out September of 2022. And that, and it wasn't even at that moment. It was like when I was further along in my pregnancy. I want to say like at the 7-8 month mark, when I was like, all right, I'm gonna have to pull up the cover.
Well, that's also because you knew you needed Jesus' strength to get you through this birth.
Period. Period. And that is why my child loves music to this day, because that's all I play is Christian music. I mean, Christian music while I was delivering.
That's what I was saying. That's what I was gonna say.
Yeah, Christian music when I was delivering. Christian music, he was listening to it in my belly because I used to put headphones on.
I think also what got in my mind too is that I knew that, like, okay, I got a house. Now big girl moves were happening, right? I get a house, I get engaged, I get married. Now the next step is kids, right? So now I'm like, okay, if I put this into practice even more, then I'll be able to do what my parents did with us, with my kids, which is important to me because I saw how my upbringing was. I saw how I was able to rely on God in those down times. I'd rather my kids go to God than the world because you won't find any of that anywhere else, any with anybody either, like... And you can't do it on your own.
Nope.
So there is this parable in Luke chapter, I believe, 15, from verses 11 to 32 on the prodigal son. And I just want to go over it. I'm not going to read all of it. But basically what happens is that a father has these two sons, and the younger one asks for his share of inheritance early. And he actually wishes that his father was dead so he could take the money and leave home. But the younger son, who spends all his money on wild, irresponsible activity things, he becomes broke and desperate. So obviously he's going to face hardship, but he realizes that his mistakes, like what his mistakes were, and he decides to return home, hoping to work as a servant for his father. Instead of anger, the father actually welcomes him back with open arms and throws a big celebration, rejoicing that his son has been returned because he was once lost. And when that happens, the older brother, actually who was working diligently at home, feels resentment towards that because of the celebration for his younger sibling who decided to leave home and do all that he did. But the father explains that celebrating the return of the lost son is actually right because he was lost and is now found. So instead of anger, he just turned to peace and excitement because his son came home. So I don't know about you, but like if your son or your kid, whoever, let's say they left home not on good terms and then they come back safely and they mean it this time, and I'm pretty sure that every parent will be happy and ecstatic that their kid comes back home. And in the story, the father rejoices and is happy because his relationship is restored with him. He realizes that his son is genuine about it this time to reconcile. And it just shows the unconditional love. So along with that, it just shows that God would always welcome us back in his arms if we've ever like strayed away and came back. And he is always there with us. He's always by our side. And his plan is different for everyone and ultimately leads us back to him. And the best thing that keeps us grounded is that God is always the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so we may go through our seasons, but he doesn't change, so we can always rely on him. God's timing is perfect even when things seem uncertain. So I know like sometimes we want to rush him and do it on our own, but when we do that, it fails or something goes wrong, because I've done that numerous of times. I thought I knew more. But we have to learn how to let go and how to let God, and truly do that by surrendering whatever it is at his feet and letting him actually do it. And I say actually do it because he didn't need our help. I always say this, he didn't need our help creating the world. So why would he need our help with your little situation?
No.
What? Imagine...
No, for real, though, for real, because I have a very hard time with, I have a control issue, like, I need to be able to control every situation, make sure I know what's happening, what's going on. Well, the Lord has always just been that type of person to be like, if you don't just wait, like, I have something so much better for you, but you just so nosy. I know, Lord, like,
I think what's hard, too, is that people pray, but then they think that he's not listening, but honestly, in that time, there's a reason why you're going through that stuff. He's helping us grow. He's helping us, like, shape into who we need to be to get to the other side and learn and grow from what we were just going through. Because God always has lessons.
He does. He always has lessons. I actually saw it was kind of like a video, but it was, like, something on Instagram, and it was, like, when you pray, this is, like, what happened. So, like, it was a person, they were sitting there praying, and this was going on for, like, 3-4 days, like, they were showing, like, that they were on their knees, they were praying, and the little angel came down and, like, scooped up all the letters that were, like, at this person, like, at the top of their house, and scooped up the letters and brought them back up and was, like, standing in line for Jesus to, like, leave the mail for him.
And it was, it just pretty much showed, like, even though, like, you're praying, you think he doesn't hear you, it's just gotta get, it's up there. It's getting to him. You just gotta wait in his timing. And I was looking, I was like, oh, that's a great illustration. We need to put that everywhere. It was a really cute, like, video.
I mean, it's true, though. Like, it'll get there when he wants it to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And I love Philippians 1:6 because it states that whatever God started in us, he will be faithful to complete. So just have patience. Patience is a virtue. That's what my mom always said.
I feel like, listen, I know I don't have no patience.
So I don't know if, you know, off the top of your head, but is there a Bible verse on what helped you realize that God was working all along in your life? Because he's obviously got you through situations and through things.
Well, first, it's like the newest thing this year. I think it's because, like, at the end of last year, I was like really like leaning on God and was like really like started getting to like my hardcore like praying and everything. And at the beginning of the year, he gave me like a word. In all my years that I have had my walk with Jesus, he has never given me a word. He probably did, but I just didn't hear him. But this year, I heard it, and it's abide. And it's pretty much like, I need you just to abide. Abide by my word. Abide by my spirit. That's literally what he's trying to tell me. I'm like, all right, I hear you. I hear you, Pookie. I just, give me a minute. Let me cook, okay? I hear you. John 15:4. Abide in me and I in you. You just, you know what? Goodness. And then the other one. The other one right here. This is another one. It's Psalms 23. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. You know what? All right, I hear you. You're telling me, abide in me, and I abide in you, and fear nothing, because I'm right here. All right, I hear you.
I was reading 2 Timothy the other day, and it says he doesn't give us... he gives us the power of, like, love and stuff like that, mm-hmm. not of timidness or fear. So when we go and do stuff... What are you looking at me like that?
Because the Lord is so disrespectful to me.
Yo, let me tell you, when I read the Bible, I'm like, dang, he's a savage.
Jesus was forever a savage.
I wish I was there, like, back then when he was like...
He was forever, like I said, reading the Bible now and like... It was not this like...
I was going to say, it was not gangsta. This lit when we were kids.
This is why I know Jesus was a savage. Because then the disciples looked. And Peter goes, well, why didn't it work? He looked at him and was like, because you have no faith. Didn't I say, have faith in me? I was like, ooh.
My favorite savage moment of Jesus.
So he yelled at you. That's what he did.
My favorite savage moment of Jesus in Matthew is when he flipped the tables, okay? When he went into that temple and he just flipped the tables. My client the other day, she was going through something. She goes, what would somebody, she's not a Christian whatsoever, but she's just like, what would somebody in your faith, what would God tell you to do? And I said, turn the other cheek, be kind, love one another. Mm-hmm. And then I hesitated for a moment. I said, but then Jesus did flip tables. So I mean, like, and she goes, all right, flipping the tables it is. I said, no, flipping the no,
tables no. That's what she got from the conversation. We're going to have to flip the tables.
I can't.
But yo, he was a straight savage. So for anybody to be like, oh, look, I just can't get into it. I'm like, I'm going to need you to read the Bible again because it was savagery that was going on in there.
I love the Gospels because I feel like that, like, I know God did stuff in the Old Testament, but, like, the Gospels, when Jesus was actually here in human form on earth, that's when it got more lit, because then he was able to do it, you know?
He was a savage, like, because, like I said, I'm reading Genesis and now I'm into Job, and I read all of Genesis. He wasn't as savage until, like you said, until he was, like, present in human form on earth. That's when he was
complete savage. Because then everything was tangible. Then he's able to show you his savageness.
Yo, I was like, this is wild. Like, dude, what is going on?
One of my verses, which is the start, I have three of them. They kind of go in order.
Okay.
This one is the start of it all because I think... I had gone through all that I had gone through to get myself to where I am today of, like, what I do. So, like, between doing this and singing and all this and that. Hebrews 13:20-21. It says, now may the God of peace equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So, the main thing for me in this one is the God of Peace, because I need the peace, because I'd be struggling with my anxiousness, okay? I'd be struggling with my nerves. And so, honestly, before I do anything, I always pray, like, even when they come up for transition and I gotta sing or something, mm-hmm. I'm like, Lord, please have me. Like, give me the strength, give me the courage. I'd, like, blurt out any word, even if it doesn't make sense in a sentence, I'd just be blurting it out, and I actually feel that peace before doing it. My next one is my favorite verse of all time, because it's just a great reminder of what we should be doing on our day-to-day. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 through 16. And it says, "You are the salt of the earth, but what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand, where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father." I don't be caring no more. I just, like, I'll post stuff. I don't care if you unfollow me. I'll be talking about him. I don't care if you judge me. Because, like, at the end of the day, you ain't judging me. He is. And you ain't going to be holding my hand. He is. Great. So, therefore, I just don't care. I don't give a hoot, as the oldies would say. And then my last one would be Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23, where it says, "Not everyone who says to me," oh, okay, this one is what tugged at my heartstrings, and I do not want this for my life. Listen, it says, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers." Or as some translations say, "Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness." I don't ever want to be told that by God. So that's why I think he was working all things together for my good in the background of, like, me talking to him, me thinking he's not listening to me and everything. Because there's no way in heck that I am going to be down yonder in the fire. Mm-hmm. It'll bring me back to Brother Joe's class back then, where he had a shut up with the lights, and he was like,
"Right now,
okay, the lights are off. Now everybody scream." So we all were kids. We were like screaming. And then he's like, "That's what hell's gonna be like if you go there."
Shooken core memory right there.
We turn on the lights mad quick. We're like, "I'm sorry." Like, we did not know where that was going. But those are my three verses, and I'm sticking with it.
Period. Whenever I read something, it's just so, like, prominent in my head that I'm like, did anybody else have this reaction when you read it? Because, wow.
Or at least you should feel that way when you read God's word and not just read it to read it.
Mm-hmm. God's word is literally a bunch, how I interpret it, it's literally a, I don't want to say, like, a bunch of stories, but it's, like, it's Jesus's life.
And I know it sounds like just, like, a bunch of Bible stories, but there's meaning in each one of them, and, like, whatever you're going through in life, they've gone through it as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, like right now, as I'm going through my transition of life of, like, okay, what am I doing now that's stepping myself out of faith? If you read Joshua, there's people in the Old Testament, like Bible characters, if you want to call it, like Joshua and stuff, that don't think that they're qualified for it, but God is like, no. And that's where my saying comes from of, like, God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. Mm-hmm. And, like, just, you don't have to be this big, spectacular person to do what God has called you to do.
No, you do not.
You just have to be obedient and listen. I know we could always go on and on about Jesus, hence why the book is mad big.
Right.
But to end it here, I just want to say, even if you took a different road, God is still working in your life. You're never too far from his love or his plan. Your path doesn't have to look like anyone else's for it to be God ordained. And I just want to leave you with this scripture of Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 through 9. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." So just because you might have an agenda for your life or have, like, a timeline doesn't mean it's going to go that way. So don't be mad when it doesn't. And you got to trust him and his timing, because there's always something better for you on the other side that you might not be able to see.
Period.
Okay. And I know usually when Elissa's here, there's a song. There's still a song. I sang it by myself.
Oh, thank
I'm gonna sing it by myself.
I'm gonna just sway back and forth for you.
I can't with you. And it's different because, one, I feel like I usually sing with somebody, not really by myself. So this is new, in a sense. I mean, I sing by myself all the time. You just, y'all don't hear it. But yeah, so I have a song for you guys called Goodness of God. It basically just talks about how he's always been faithful no matter what path you have in your life and what he has done for me. So here is this. But we are first going to pray.
Lord, we thank you for this time together, and I thank you for being able to share these stories between Jessica and I, and I thank you for the reminder that no matter where life takes us, you're always calling us back to you. We're so grateful that your plans for us are good, even when our paths look different from others. Help us to continue to seek you and guide our paths, and for those listening on the other side, we pray that they feel your presence in their own journey, and if they are searching, remind them that you are near, that you are the way. And if they are longing for more of you, fill them with your peace, with your love, and just a passion for wanting you for their faith. As we go forward, may we continue to desire more of you. Let our lives reflect your grace and goodness. And may we always be a light that points others back to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me, and all my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In my darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. Oh, I have lived in the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. 'Cause your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. 'Cause your goodness is running after, it's running after me. And all my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.